ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Like it or lump it, presents and Christmas are inextricably linked, especially if you've got little people in your life. Yes, it's about the food and family and friends and togetherness, but what's under the tree? Well, Aussies are expected to spend almost $7 billion over Black Friday and Cyber Monday later this month. And then there comes Christmas presents and Boxing Day sales. There's been a backlash against what many have branded overconsumption. The boss of Australia Post recently came out and slammed online retailers like Shein, Temu and Amazon, saying that the public were hooked into this drug of finding the cheapest product available to the detriment of local businesses. So, how can we consume ethically during a time that is centred on buying? In a moment, you'll hear from someone who's wrapping up her second year of a no-buy challenge, as well as a consumer behaviour specialist and an economist, for some insights on why we buy like we do and how to buy better. And Steph Thompson's Christmas last year looked pretty different to most of ours. She and her husband were on a no-buy challenge. She's since transitioned to a low-buy mindset. Steph, welcome to Life Matters.
Thank you for having me.
Talk to me about what Christmas looked like at your house last year.
Christmas was, I mean, we've never really been huge on a huge Christmas, but it really just was intentional time spent with the people we love the most. That was our priority.
What did that look like in practice?
We love hosting a friendmas, so that is kind of our way of giving a gift to all of our friends. We host everyone, we buy all the food. And so that was our, I guess, primary way of celebrating, especially with our friends.
What was your motivation? Was it about money or was it about stuff or was it both?
Originally, it was definitely about money. Mm-hmm. As we kind of went along the journey, it kind of highlighted a lot of habits that we had that were really eye-opening. So it became a lot more about the stuff the further we got into it.
This is something you've been doing for a couple of years now. I actually spoke to you in February after your first year of no-buy, yeah. And you're now here at the end of the year, having done it again. How do you explain yourself to people? I'm sure you get heaps of questions about it.
Not as many as you would think, honestly. It's been interesting, really, because I didn't realize how little people talk about spending. And I think that is in some ways part of the problem. We're so caught up with keeping up with everyone, but we're not actually talking to each other. So it's just based on what we see and what we perceive. Mm. So, yeah, I don't get as many questions as you'd expect, especially around our friends, because we did kind of let them know, hey, this is what we're doing. But yeah, people don't talk about money very much.
Have any of your friends kind of gone, okay, yeah, I'm going to try this too? Like, have you inspired anyone?
I don't think in my close friend group, not so much, but definitely online. I share a lot of my journey online and it's been pretty cool to see people even just give like a no-buy week or a no-buy month ago.
Mm. Dr. Paul Harrison's also with me. He's head of consumer behaviour at Deakin. He is the star of our fortnightly chat that we call Buyer Beware, but I've pulled him out for a special Wednesday appearance for today's chat. Paul, welcome to Life Matters.
Hello.
Hi, yes. You're back in your home away from home here on Life Matters, Paul Harrison.
Yes, yes. Too much Paul isn't nearly enough.
Not enough Paul.
Exactly.
What is it that compels us to spend? I like money and yet I keep opening my wallet.
There is a lot. And I think the best way to think about it is that there are multiple factors, a perfect storm. And I think Christmas is exactly that perfect storm. So particularly in relation to consumption, it's a mix of internal biases, the things that have helped us evolve over millennia, but also then external factors, things like advertising, as Steph was talking about, the social norms, because deep down, we just want to fit in. We want to kind of find the groups that we belong to. We want to work out how to fit in. And that starts from the moment that we're born. You know, the things that get us praise and attention are the things that help us to fit in. And that's really what's driving it. And we look at how the rest of the family does Christmas, how our friends do Christmas, and we go, well, this must be the way we do Christmas. And I think that's what drives so much of our consumption behaviour in general, is that we are a product of the environment, but also a product of the things, I guess, that drive our behaviour, this idea of wanting to be part of groups, not wanting to be ignored, wanting to be loved deep down.
Someone started it though. Like, why Christmas? Why are we so consumptive at this time of year?
Well, I mean, even if you kind of think a long, long way back, even the Bible story is about bringing gifts to Jesus kind of thing. So it is a way for us to express love. People do express their love through gift giving. I think one of the things, though, is that with the emergence of really fast-paced media, with the emergence, I guess, of a commercial approach to it, the gifts themselves become part of the economy. And you can kind of see that even the fact that we have these Black Friday sales now, what people are doing is that they're just responding to these external pressures. But also there's probably a bigger kind of conversation that goes on now, which is really just about the economy. You need to contribute to the economy. We need to constantly have growth. One way that you do that is to consume. One way to consume is to consume at times where, generally speaking, it's accepted and it's a ritual. And you can't go anywhere and not be exposed to Christmas. Like, I saw a Christmas tree in Moonee Ponds recently, kind of thing. Like, what is it, November? And I think this is the thing, is that what we're doing is we're partially as individual consumers responding to the external environment of, you know, all of this media and exposure, but we're also, in a way, being fed this mindset, which is the economy is the only way that we can signal, or the way that we buy things is only one of the only ways that we can signal love, the only way that we can signal to people that we care about them. And I think that's one of the complexities there.
The other thing, as you're talking about it, Christmas is actually still so far away. I looked at my calendar today. We are 6 weeks out from Christmas Eve. It's not even Black Friday yet. That's still a fortnight away. And yet it feels like the on-ramp to spending is very long and has already started.
Yeah. And it's so funny because I was in a meeting last night with a person who's a senior leader at one of the big retailers. And the chair of the meeting said, you know, it's 6 weeks until Christmas. And this person said, it's six shopping weeks until Christmas. That's the mindset. Yeah. And I think this is the thing, is that, you know, we now just kind of think of Christmas through that mindset of buying. And what Steph is doing is actually really difficult. And just the mere fact that people were going, oh, that's kind of weird, says a lot. Because to push back against this social norm of buying at Christmas time is actually, it requires real courage, because what you're doing is that you're going against these norms, and then you have to explain yourself. It's a bit like being vegan. You know, why are you vegan? Why are you not doing Christmas? You're a bit weird. Explain yourself.
Yeah, why are you?
And I think that's, again, yeah, exactly. And sometimes people might even get defensive. They go, okay, so you're not participating. This is why I'm not. I am participating. And again, these are just choices that people make. But people go, you're now criticizing the life choices that I've decided to make as well.
So, Steph, you said at the start it was really about saving, not so much about consumption. But has it kind of opened your eyes to the way we're set up?
Oh, very much so. A lot of the habits that we stumbled into that really helped our journey, like I said, we stumbled into them. They were kind of by accident. But even just like going to the shops less, it's amazing how much just that made a huge impact on our lack of desire to buy. Because you get so used to, like Paul said, we're set up for this. This is the culture now. You get so used to the marketing and the ads and everything being everywhere that you almost don't notice. But then when we were going to the shops less, all of a sudden it kind of occurred to me, oh, like I wouldn't think to want a lot of these things if the idea wasn't presented to me. And that was a weird realization to come to, but very impactful.
You are listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor, talking to Steph Thompson, who's in her second year of a no, or at least low buy challenge, and Dr. Paul Harrison, who's a resident consumer expert here at Life Matters, talking about the fact that in the lead up to Black Friday sales, which are now the biggest spending weekend of the year, it's eclipsed Boxing Day sales and end of financial year, Aussies are set to spend like $7 billion over Black Friday and Cyber Monday. We're talking about what it might take to opt out of that spending culture, especially as we're looking to Christmas. Lots and lots of texts coming through. Kate says, how about an op shop Christmas, or at least one gift for a family member who you can do that for? Another says, I'm definitely the most annoying person in the family. I campaigned on a no giftmas for years, and the closest we got was my mum wrapping one tube of Pringles per person because she couldn't bear having absolutely nothing under the tree. These days, since there are now kids in the family, we aim for one gift per person. Of course, the kids are excluded and they get royally spoiled. And Judy in Castlemaine says, if you must buy, buy art from artists. After giving joy for years, it can even increase in value. Kind of on that, I'm also here with Daniel Kiley, who's an economist with Curtin University. Daniel, you've been looking at research which suggests it's actually quite tricky to buy local these days.
Oh, yeah. Good morning, Tegan, and to your listeners. Yeah, look, it can be very hard to buy local because we live in an economy now where lots of things are really integrated. Supply chains, things can start the production process here in Australia, make their way to other economies where some value add is takes place and then make their way back into our economy again. So, products can go through multiple countries through the supply chain process now before they land in our shelves. So it's very hard to find products that, you know, are only made in one country, but we'll often have components or elements of them that come from many countries. So again, this idea of buy local can be quite challenging. And even food products, for example, you look at farmers and the technology they use, the farm equipment they use, the fertilizers they use and so on. Many of these are imported from other countries as well. So part of that production process relies on and requires trade with other nations.
It's something that we were talking about quite a lot earlier in the year when Donald Trump, the US president, was bringing in tariffs against things that weren't made in America, and we kind of followed suit by boycotting American-made products, some of us did. And it was during that time that you realised, well, that you were sort of talking about how difficult it is to untangle the supply chain, which is really hard if what you're wanting to do is just buy ethically.
Yeah, and look, I guess the real big thing with buying ethically as well, I think there's certainly a real desire amongst consumers to do the right thing and to buy ethically. But with the cost of living pressures, especially what we've seen on the back of the COVID-19 pandemic, it's very hard for some households to buy ethically if buying ethically implies it comes at a higher cost. Now, it's not always the case that it does come at a higher cost, but a lot of households are under pressure, cost of living pressures, and they're really looking to get the best bang for their buck and to buy whatever is cheapest and what is within their affordability. So again, we need to keep that in mind where it's not something that's so easy for all households to make that switch and do what's ethical.
I was interested when I'd said before about the Australian Post boss kind of basically saying that people are hooked into this drug of finding the cheapest product available, buying from Shein, Temu and Amazon. It seemed strange to me that Australia Post would be participating in this backlash given that online shopping is a big part of their business model at the moment.
Yeah, look, online shopping is massive, and we've seen that with Black Friday sales, for example, about $2.2 billion worth to occur online and November of last year, and about $2.9 billion were in store. So there's certainly a large proportion of online sales. Now, I think Auspost, there's certainly lots of other business activity and part of their business model involves movement of goods within Australia as well, of course. So, I think it is good that people are talking about buying ethically and trying to raise further awareness around the issue. But as I said, it's just not something that's necessarily accessible to everybody with cost of living pressures.
Here on Life Matters on ABC Radio National, we're talking about consuming less in a time of year that really is geared towards consumption. Black Friday sales as the on-ramp for Christmas spendings. One says, from my experience, when our family agreed not to exchange presents, we gave each other the gift of peace. My Christmases have been a calm, enjoyable time. Another says, my fabulous niece has instigated Kris Kringle this year. The present must be secondhand or handmade and maximum $50. Paul, we're still looking at spending money in some of these examples. Why do we correlate spending with love or care?
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately it's an easy metric. So money is easy to measure. And it gives us a kind of, I guess, a link to emotion. Love, we all know this, is messy, and care is messy. And so what we end up doing is that we have to use some shortcut to understand that, and money has been presented to us as something that is real and objective But it's actually just a simplification. I mean, humans do like clear indicators, but pricing itself, as you know, as we know, is not necessarily a reflection of, you know, the care that the maker, the retailer, has put into it. So I think what we do is that we end up coming back and having, well, we just need a benchmark. We need a cutoff point, a cap of some kind. And that's exactly what that the listener kind of was saying, is we cap it at $50 and we put some rules around it. And humans, we love these rules, I think. But I think one of the things that Steph said really early on was that actually, okay, but buy with intention. And I think that's what's sitting underneath all of this, is that so much of our buying behaviour becomes habit, not intention, because we get so caught up in the expectations of Christmas and people just say, this is just what you do. We don't have the capacity or the ability to slow down and say, but why is this what we do? And that's hard work. That's effortful to have the conversation with family members and say, it's not that we don't love each other or that I don't love you. It's that we have never talked about why we do these things. And I think the ultimate sitting underneath all of this is this idea of generosity, that we actually do want to be good people. But I think one of the things is that we just get so caught up in the habits of Christmas and the kind of external forces that just push us towards this, that we all end up at the shopping mall on a Christmas Eve buying presents that we know no one will like, but we just feel this obligation to do that.
How do I have those conversations then? How have you, if you have, Paul, managed to convey this, I love you and that's why I'm doing this instead?
I think it's a pattern. So throughout the year you do that. So one of the things that we do in our family is that when we see something that we know somebody will like, we just get it for them. We don't wait for Christmas. At Christmas time we all come together and we might get gifts, but throughout the year you listen with intention. And I think this is the thing, is that, again, what we have to do is that we have to put effort into this. If we actually love these people, and I think, you know, that's an important thing to get our heads around, we have to take the time to understand them and give them something that will help them to flourish. And that's real generosity, because what you've done is that you've not just gone out and bought 100 presents for people just because you feel an obligation. You've engaged with the care that you're trying to give to them. And I think when you have the way to have those conversations with family members is to do it in a way which is to do it in a kind of incremental way. Don't just suddenly dump it on people, say we're not buying presents this year, because everyone will just be confused. Keep it about being consistent and honest about why you're doing it. Talk about it. It's a different way of approaching things. I think Steph is right to actually say, I'm struggling with money, and to say that. And generally speaking, if people love you and they're generous people, they'll understand that. But it's not a conversation that you just dump in the middle of, you know, a big fight or something at Christmas time. We're not doing this ever again. You do it over the year and you talk to each other about it and you be really consistent about it, about the conversation and why you're doing it. And I think it was just a beautiful thing that Steph said, which is, you know, this idea of we don't talk about money, but it is such an important part of how we live our lives. And it should be a part of the conversation in a loving kind of family relationship.
Steph, Paul, Daniel, thank you all so much for joining me today. Steph Thomas posts at Abundant on a Budget on social media. Daniel Kiley is an economist with Curtin University. And Paul Harrison is head of consumer behaviour at Deakin and usually joins me fortnightly for our chat that we call Buyer Beware. But I've pulled him out of mothballs on a Wednesday for a special occasion today to talk about why we buy the way we do. I'm loving your texts on this. HB says, my move away from consumption began by asking my close friends to donate whatever they were going to spend on my present to their chosen charity. I then asked them to let me do the same to them. I still get gifts for children, but also buy them from charity groups. I get my middle-aged children a gift to open and a gift card that says what their donation has done to help those in need. It's more the spirit of Christmas than rampant consumption. And Mark says, I try to make things rather than buy. Either way, of quality and either good consumables or durables. That includes a handkerchief made from hand-spun yarn. 300 grams is 2 to 3 months of my skilled labour and still needs knitting or crochet. Mark, that is amazing. How do I get on your Christmas list?
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.